Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Baseball is back, and so is swim season. Call now and mention radio for a free month of pool service. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ellwell, Matt Scraby. As I said, you're into the happy hour. We headed into the happy hour talking about fan etiquette at a baseball game. Scrabe,
yeah,
had an issue with a family standing up for a long period of time and blocking the view to the game. Chris said he had quite a bit to say about this on the other side.
I do.
So I'm going to my man, Crisello.
Thank you. I do only because Scraby said, well, first of all, we should congratulate Drew.
Drew called in
during the break because Scraby played the Tony Gwynn Sr. highlight of the World Series home run in 1998. So everybody stop calling now. Unfortunately for you,
it's over.
It's over. Drew has won the Padre tickets. He'll go see the Padres play the Gigantes tomorrow night. He'll have a chance to grab the Tony Gwynn Sr. bobblehead. First 40,000 get one. Sounds good unless you're the 41,000 person into the ballpark.
Too late.
So, yeah. Good luck with all of that. Now, the reason I got angry when Scraby talked about these people standing up is not so much that they stood up. And it sounded like they had to take care of a few things with their kids and get everything organized. It's the fact that, according to Scraby's reporting,
they caught an attitude.
They caught an attitude when somebody asked them to please sit down.
Okay, so
that part is what annoys me to no end.
Me going back with Tony was role play. That they didn't actually yell, but they did shoot the look back up. The wife shot the look back up, and then he passive aggressively stood there for a little bit longer and got the stuff out of his bag.
Here's my thing. I mean, I don't have kids, so I can't 100% feel you. But I also know that if I did have a kid, I'd be really nervous about bringing him to a ballpark or to the movies or even to a restaurant.
Yes.
And because I would be concerned with how that might play on the other customers. If I did bring them, I would go out of my way to make sure that if I did have to fix something or straighten something out, I would hopefully grab the kid or whatever item it is and get out of there before I fixed it, so that I'm not bothering anybody's view. But I am kind of getting used to the fact that our world is filled with so many people who honestly think they're the only people there. And it's just one of my all-time pet peeves. So, I don't know what else to tell you.
I'm with you on the pet peeve. I will say, as a parent of four, you do get to a point where you're like, you know what?
I'm just doing it.
I got to do it. I'm sorry. Like
I
generally always am worried about everybody else's experience as it pertains to my loud children.
Yeah.
But, you know, today is not the day. I'm not doing it. So you're just going to have to hold this a little bit longer. I'm not doing it intentionally. I'm taking care of what I got to get. But I'm not going to flash a look if somebody asks me to sit down. I'm already in my mind. I'm already like, oh, my God. Let's
crawling out of your skin kind of thing.
I can't even find this. Why didn't at least put this in the spot where I can get it? This is all, it's all going through my head. As I'm probably
she should be the one rifling through the bag right now.
As I'm probably sweating coming down my head at this point. So I wouldn't look. That is annoying. First of all, as a parent, when you get up to do something like that, you should already know that you're probably changing the experience for people around you. So that should already have you on kind of high alert as it is.
Yeah, but you know what? What I'm kind of used to, Tony, is, you know, being at, let's say, Costco and filling up the tank of gas. And here comes Joe Yoho with his...
Does he say, yo-ho, yo-ho, he's walking up? Is that why he's named Joe Yoho?
No. He's playing his favorite music on blast.
Oh, that's me for sure.
While he's getting gas.
Oh, not while I'm getting gas. So yeah, now, the car's turned off when I'm getting gas.
Okay, well, now while I'm getting gas, I have to listen to his music.
Yo-ho.
I'll tell you what, if you put that song, I'd kind of get a kick out of
that
it.
That would be fun, actually.
But just in general, people who don't know that anyone else is there, it's one of my all-time things.
I feel like Chris is right. People don't care about people anymore. Chris is definitely right. And they don't care about anything that... Oh, well... You know what? I paid for this ticket. Well, so did I. Yeah. I mean, what does that
mean?
We
all did.
What does that mean? It means nothing. But, like, when you get angry at someone, the guy was standing up in the middle of an inning.
Yeah.
If it's between innings, no one cares. You know what? If you're still standing when the inning starts, fine.
There's a reason why if you get up and, like, let's say you're coming in a lot of baseball stadiums, they make you wait till there's like a breaking the action before they let you actually start.
I believe they do that at Petco.
Yeah, I think
so
they
I'm
do that
sure
pretty much at all the passes.
It was not being enforced yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know, yesterday, I don't know, was it late in the game?
It was all game.
It was all game.
People were walking up back and forth all game.
All right, okay. They do that at certain spots. Well, they
spots.
Do enforce that rule in most of the seating. But where you have to sit, Scraby, they can't afford
ushers
out there.
Well, this was with a friend, and she gave me a ticket that I couldn't afford, so I was in a nicer area of the stadium.
Well, then they should have had that enforced.
You were in the hoity-toity area.
I was in the hoity-toity area.
Well, then that should have been enforced down there.
And guess what? Still haven't paid for a ticket in a while.
Well, the problem would be in the hoity-toity area is that everybody feels like, hey, I'm in the hoity-toity area. I can kind of do what I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy how people act these days. And someone was saying on the chat earlier that yesterday they were like, what section were you in? Because we sat next to a family who threw a Michelotto over the edge. It's like, what?
What are we doing?
Like, I have no idea, but there are, I do think that...
We already knew this. We've been talking, how long have we been talking about the fan experience over the last, I don't know, five, seems like since COVID, right?
Yeah.
That's probably when we started noticing the change in behavior.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
At the games, right?
Yeah,
I don't think anything has changed. It may have settled down a little, but we don't have as much ridiculousness, but we still got it out there.
We do. And there's a lot, and I'm not saying this is a Padres thing because I've been to many baseball games and they're all the same. I think over-drinking is a thing. And it's a big thing. And I know it's been a thing. I know it's not anything new. But, like, I see, and maybe it's just because I'm not drunk anymore, because I used to be one of the drunk people walking around.
It might be.
But I see a lot of really intoxicated people, and they're not necessarily aware of their surroundings.
Well, we had one of those idiots in Cleveland yesterday. An absolutely awful situation.
You didn't see that. I know you didn't, because you would have definitely talked about it.
No, I have not seen this.
This involved the Boston Red Sox outfielder, Jared Duran.
I saw someone got ejected, but I don't know what happened.
Well, Jared Duran was very
had to be restrained. Restrained.
Jared Duran was very outgoing in his... In an article, or was it an interview? An article?
No,
a couple of weeks ago.
It was in the documentary.
Yeah, in the documentary
on
about having thought about taking his life, and
yes.
he
tried
on
to take
and on
his
about
life,
it,
right?
And he thought
he
about it, and he tried it,
and
he
did
pulled
not
the
work.
Trigger, and it didn't work. Right? That's right. Okay. Well, he was in Cleveland yesterday, and apparently there was a fan in the front row behind the Red Sox dugout who, according to Duran, just was yelling very inappropriate stuff. I read somewhere that it happened to sound something like, I wish you would have been successful.
Oh, that's exactly goodness. What was, that's what set him off.
And Jared Duran, tried to go after the fan, basically.
I'm watching the video right now.
Security was able to handle it, and the umpires, et cetera, they got the fan out of there. The Cleveland has issued apologies and things. This is not the norm, even for drunk people, to say something that absurd and outlandish and hurtful. But it does give you the idea that things are a bit out of control. You said since COVID, Tony, I don't disagree with you. The world changed during COVID. And but idiot fans have been around
for a long time, for sure. I'm not saying that they just popped up recently.
Yeah.
But it has become noticeable a lot more since 2020.
I think you're right. And, you know, what you said, Scraby, about, well, I pay for the ticket, I can do what I want. No, you can't. It doesn't say that on the ticket. You have to, you know, part of the world, I mean, you don't have to pay attention to streetlights if you don't want to. It would be helpful if you did.
Right. Right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. I go on and on with this, and Lori and I.
See, I think we
running into people all the time that don't know anyone else is around. And I just drives me nuts.
I think we have, as a society, not held people to higher standards. And what I mean by that is, like, don't let these people come to games with you. If you know that they're going to yell something like that, call them out for it, even if it's your friend. Like, I'm not asking for fights in the stands or anything like that, but
they're actually asking for the opposite of, like, fights in the
stands. Like, let's be a society. Let's tell the person that's standing up telling Jared Duran that he should kill himself. Like,
crazy.
Let's make sure that person knows that's not okay, but that's not what we do anymore. Well, we're just, like, look the other way.
We'll push back a little bit. I think the fans were the one that got the guy who said those things eventually kicked out. Because he lost his mind, obviously, as he should have, Jared Duran. And then it was from what I read, it was the fans that eventually pointed the guy out. Like, here he is.
No,
right?
According to the story, the fan got pointed out and then tried to escape.
Yeah, well, there
he was
you
actually
go.
Running up the stairway.
And that's the, even better, actually.
Security, you know, is able to get this
so
guy.
So you're such a tough guy that right. You're going to yell at a player on the field because you know they can't do anything to you, and then you're going to run.
Welcome to the world we live in. That is Twitter right there all day long. He's probably a big Twitter guy.
But there is a shot of this, and there's a lot of fans pointing in the direction of
right.
The fan.
Okay,
who said
so
it.
They did take a little
bit. Fans were
okay.
Apparently, good. You know, doing something about this.
That drives me insane. And you know what people say? Well, he's a pro athlete. He needs to be able to handle himself. You know what? When you say something
but
like that,
to me
it goes further than the
to
field.
To me, it's the same thing when you're like, he's stealing money. He's 20. It's the same thing. It's still the same
we're
human
about
being. Whoever. It's the same human being element there. Like, yes, he's making a gang of money. It doesn't mean that he just can get hits whenever he wants to. Or in this case, just have to take the most ridiculous thing coming out of your mouth, like in a real. If that was in the real world, like not on the field, and that guy would have said that to Duran, I promise you, it would have been a two piece. My man would have been out cold.
What would happen if they said that to Tommy Pham?
I don't even want to tell
there
y'all.
Would
what would
actually
happen.
Be a fight.
It would be over.
And people in the chat are saying, "Hey, San Diego's not exempt from this." I know.
But we
brought this up because
we've
of
said
the San
that
Diego
before.
Fan.
Absolutely, yeah. San Diego's not exempt. From
that's how this whole started.
They're bringing up the chant from SDFC that you know we're no. part of that too. I understand, but there were a lot of
this
there
isn't
were a lot of people
this isn't an indictment
chant.
On people out of Cleveland. We are talking about. All of sports, and that includes here in San Diego.
Oh, I wasn't picking on Cleveland.
No, yeah, I know no, you were.
Nobody
I know
was.
You were. I was just
one last thing
chat.
on Xander Bogaerts.
We got to go. No, we don't got to go. We just got to keep going until 16. So
let's just
roll.
Keep going. 18. It's a good conversation.
Good
one thing on Xander Bogaerts. If you're sitting in the stands and you're screaming, it feels like fans not only have the entitlement to scream, but they feel protected by the fact that they're in the stands and they're at a game. What I mean by that is if you were shopping at your local Vons or Albertsons and you were going up and down the
Pavilions
aisle,
now, by the way.
Pavilions, thank you. You have to interrupt everything I
well,
say.
Well, I mean, there's no more Vons. Everybody's like, what's Vons? I know
everybody
what,
knows
what nobody
Vons
knew what
stop.
That was. God, you're annoying. But if you're walking down the aisle of your local Pavilions and Xander Bogaerts came walking by and was buying a loaf of bread himself, how many people would say, you suck!
None.
Will you ever get a hit?
I don't think
absolutely
anybody.
No one would. Everyone would go, wow, Xander Bogaerts, this is awesome.
There's a couple. There's
okay,
the,
but you
the,
know what I mean.
The two, the one or two people that want to go viral or want to somehow... Just like my man who walked up on DeRozan when he was sitting there eating by himself
yeah.
and kind of put him on camera and then all of a sudden getting into a physical altercation because
okay.
you can't just run up on people because you saw them on TV. You got to if you'd approach them like a normal human being, like, hey, DeMar, can I get your autograph or whatever it was? Instead, this guy walked up to him and was like, DeMar, they're trying to kick me out of the restaurant. And, like, DeMar just reacted.
And he's probably like, yeah, kick you out of the restaurant.
It's just, we've talked about it. We are in a time where that is the thing. How can I be famous? What can I do to get some attention?
Someone say, Katie's saying there have been a lot of ugly things said about Xander on X. And X is just a whole nother level.
Well, it's very easy to say whatever you want.
That goes back to what Chris is just saying, that that is the perfect place to go. If you don't ever want to have to see somebody, but you want to say something about somebody, head to X, because you'll never have to face a consequence.
I think that would be a good rule of thumb, by the way, if you're actually a reasonable human being. Maybe you should think about it, Scraby. Before you post something, ask yourself, would I post this in the presence of Xander Bogaerts? Might keep you from posting stupid stuff that really doesn't belong.
Honestly, I do think about, I try not to trash players on my social media because I don't know when the next time I have to face that player would be. Like, I don't even think that trashing players is fun at all. Like, I don't want to trash someone for being bad. Why would I want to do that? They know they're bad.
Well, you also know how it feels.
Yeah.
As a public figure now.
Yeah.
When you get picked on.
Yeah, someone called me fat last week on Instagram. It's still
spiraling out of this.
I don't even think it was last week. I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I'm still thinking about that
comment.
And
I'm pretty sure we both got called fat in the same photo. So
they're clearly talking about me, Chris.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
It just
depends on how you deal with it. So I went on a diet immediately after hearing
that.
That's
what Scrapey's doing.
Yeah, I was about to eat some fast food this weekend. I was like, you know what? No. Yeah. That guy called me fat on Instagram, I'm not going to do anything about it.
Well,
but come on, people. Let's just be cool.
We treat others the way you'd like to be treated. That seems like an easy one, but it's not many people go by that standard.
Do you remember when Britney Spears assaulted Victor Wembanyama? Not actually assaulted him, but tried to get a picture.
I vaguely remember that.
Security
actually
took her and moved her away from him because she was so excited to see him.
Yeah, that was awkward.
That was extremely awkward. All right.
That might have been the first and only thing that's ever been awkward surrounding Britney Spears.
Is that sarcastic?
Yes.
What about the shaving of her head? It was sarcastic.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
You mentioned Britney Spears.
It's awkward.
She's
had some awkward moments here.
She shaved her head that one time.
All right, let's get to break. We got a few more segments left to go in this wonderful happy hour. Here's some traffic.
It's the strangest intro music I think we've ever had.
Well, it's
what you doing over there?
I love it when Chris realizes
he sounds like a one-man band or something.
I love it when he realizes something for the first time.
Sounds like you're taking a spoon and whacking it into the kitchen sink or something. Is this like a top song somewhere that I should know about?
No, it's a free song.
It's a fake song.
Yeah. We're not allowed to use real music.
Can't use real stuff.
That's right. I forgot. Okay. I picked a Miami +8 against Cleveland in this basketball game.
Yeah, you did.
I believe I would tear up the ticket if I were me. 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. Cleveland 60, Miami 23. I honestly don't know if I've ever seen a score quite like that.
I mean, they don't even have Donovan Mitchell or Garland in the game right now.
They just brought some guy out of the stands. He hit a three-pointer for Cleveland. 60-23? Yikes. Looks like the Cavs are going to sweep that series.
What's my man's name? What's the big man for Cleveland?
Jared Allen?
Allen looks like he could have definitely played in the 70s for sure.
Well, he looks like he's from the 70s.
He does.
He's got the afro, which it's now. Oh, no, they missed him. All right. Anyway, 37-point lead for Cleveland. I like their chances there. NHL fans, Florida 1, Tampa Bay 1. Tampa Bay just tied it up in the hockey tonight. All right, guys, I was going to have you do a last segment, but maybe we have... No, we don't. My goodness.
Time flies.
I know. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. 4 home run games. I'm changing tact.
Okay.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez. Do you know the last person before him to do it was?
Ooh.
Also a Diamondback.
I know who it is.
What are the odds of that?
Hold up.
Tony wants to think of it. Got it, Tony?
It was a Diamondback recently?
It was also a Diamondback. Yes. It was 8 years ago.
Oh, Marte.
Nope.
No. 8 years ago. This guy's played on like six different teams, so that doesn't help you.
Where can I sound smart?
Go ahead.
Go.
JD Martinez.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What do they call it? Just...
No, Jumbo something, but I can't say.
Don't say it. Yeah, he's got the worst nickname I've ever heard. The player before JD Martinez. It's too scrappy. I can't ever say his name without thinking that nickname.
Thomas Andrews.
Thomas Andrews.
Remember the Michael Chavez,
he was giving us all the Boston Red Sox nicknames. Is that what he was doing?
He emblazoned that one. The player before J.D. Martinez.
What was Mitch Moreland's?
Mitchie Two-Bag or Mitchie Four-Bags or something? Remember when Mitch Moreland was a Padre?
Yes, I do.
For about a week, people liked him.
Yeah.
Then he went into a slump.
Yeah.
The player before J.D. Martinez was a guy that ended up with 42 career home runs. Hit 10% of them in one game.
Was it Gwinnett?
Scooter Gwinnett. Yes, of the Reds.
I remember him.
Very strange. Not many guys have done it. The best ever was Sean Green in 2002.
Did Mike Cameron do it?
Mike Cameron, yep. And Mike Cameron and Cameron's was weird, I think. Oh, he hit four home runs in the first five innings.
Yeah, he gets the White Sox.
Four home runs in five innings. Yeah, that was pretty good.
No one's hit five, right?
No.
Yeah.
Not many guys have had the chance, but yeah, five has not happened yet. Anyway, that was only the 17th time it's ever happened. So consider Suarez what he did Saturday night with the four home runs, rarer than a perfect game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you were there or you watched, you know, you saw something you don't see hardly ever. So very
Did your
cool.
dad ever hit three in a game, Tony?
Ooh.
I can look at this, but I'm going to have to do some
research.
I think
he had two in a game. I don't think he's had three in a game.
Three is a lot.
Especially for him.
Three's good. Brandon Nimmo today, if you're just tuned in, had two homers but nine RBIs.
Good. That's a day. That's a week right there.
Yes, the record holder for RBIs, hard-hitting
Mark Whitten.
Had 12 RBIs in
that might have been
once.
Like an opening day game. It was close to the beginning of the season, wasn't it? He was a Red?
He was a Cardinal against the Reds.
Against the Reds.
Second game of a doubleheader, actually, which is an old thing that we used to. I'm going to tell the kids what a doubleheader used to be. I had 12 ribbies in that
game.
I
think one of those games was ESPN. They were showing it all over. I remember that.
He had a grand slam.
Hard-hitting Mark
three-run dinger.
See, that's when nicknames were legit.
Or something.
Nicknames were a big part of the game, and I miss it. You know what else I miss, Tony? I was thinking of this yesterday when I was watching you bat. I know everybody else was thinking, oh, it's Yuli Gurriel. Right. What I was thinking was, do you remember when every player had their own stance?
Yes.
And as a kid,
you just tried to emulate them all.
You tried to emulate everybody's stance. You knew every player by their stance.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Who didn't want to be Gary Sheffield?
Yes.
That was everybody's favorite to emulate.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's
stances was a big deal. Now, kind of lost in the shuffle.
Give me Will the Thrill stance.
Kind of lost in the shuffle. All right, we got a break. More Gwynn and Chris. Half an hour of craziness to go. All right, welcome back to the program. The good news for the Miami Heat: they just won an 8-2 run against Cleveland. The bad news: they're still down by 39 points.
So not so good. Not so good.
Not so good. Second quarter, and actually now going into halftime, 72-33.
It's a wrap.
Yeah, I think. I mean, really, if Miami said we're not coming out for the second half, I don't think
nobody would blame them.
I think the fans would just say that's fine. They don't want to watch these guys.
Have the rest of our Monday to ourselves. Thank you.
Wow, 39-point halftime lead. Gwynn and Chris, 5:36, and Scraby getting her done today. Tomorrow, Tony's back in action at the stadium. We got a little night baseball tomorrow night. Padres and Giants with
a good two-game set.
Tomorrow night.
Set.
Tomorrow night, I'm not a betting man.
Not a series. It's a set.
A set. I'm not a betting man.
It's not a wraparound or whatever we call those
God.
Things.
Oh, God. We finally put that out of its misery.
Do we have any wraparounds this year on the schedule?
Friday,
I'm sure there's at least one.
Friday to Monday series used to be called a wraparound until Tony said it conjured up a bad image. So we stopped calling it that.
I'm not seeing it off
the top. That's right.
But
a good pitching matchup tomorrow.
Yes.
Again, I'm not. You never know what's going to happen in a baseball game. But it would seem like the over-under can't be very high tomorrow with Logan Webb against Nick Pivetta.
I think there's
is a pitching matchup.
I think there's something to, you know, seeing a pitcher you're familiar with again.
Right?
Although,
right.
Although the last two days, Littell used to pitch for the Giants, and Pepioy was at the Dodgers for a while.
That didn't help.
That didn't help. So,
Padres are due to break loose. Hopefully it'll be tomorrow. We went over all their offensive woes earlier in the program. Probably touch on those a few more times tomorrow before the game tomorrow night. Then there's a Wednesday day game, and then you guys hit the road, Jack.
Hit the road, Jack.
Give me your tour stops, Tony.
We will head to Pittsburgh.
Ooh. The most beautiful view. You always say, ugh. Pittsburgh is the most beautiful view in all of baseball.
That is true. It's one of the highest views, second highest view in all of baseball.
Oh, right, you're too high up, but you can see the city beautifully.
It's a beautiful city.
It is beautiful.
Hopefully we don't run into any furries this road trip. We are there for 4 days. You get a Thursday off day. For those you guys, know
Pittsburgh's
what a, furry
a good
is,
place
right?
to be.
You guys know what a furry is? You guys know?
I know what a furry is, but I don't know. We're talking about the same.
I think we're talking about the
people
same.
People who dress up in
They have a convention in Pittsburgh,
and you guys are going to be there at the same time.
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Usually, it's during the summer. I just know my first 2 years in the big leagues, playing as a Milwaukee Brewer, we went there often. They were in our division, and I remember 2 years straight, 06, 07. Pulling into the hotel, getting our keys, as you know, you do, get an elevator, and I promise you, two adults, one in full costume, the other not in costume but on a leash, get into the elevator.
You're already in a bad spot, but I need more specifics.
Look, Chris, you don't need more specifics.
Listen.
Send me a photo, Tony.
Listen. It was so weird. I didn't know what
kind of animals were they? Do you remember?
I assume the one that wasn't in the costume was a cat.
Oh, okay. Come on.
The other one was in a dog full costume.
It's
wild, man. If I told you the rest, you would think I'm lying. They get off the elevator, peek my head down that particular hallway. Because two adults just got off. One was on a leash,
walking
on
that?
All fours. And the other one was in a full dog costume. I look down the hallway. I promise you, litter boxes.
Oh, no.
Up and down the hallway.
Oh, no.
I don't know what was going in those litter boxes, but I didn't stick around to find out.
No.
Went on up to my room, and that happened two consecutive years. We got there at the exact same time.
Oh.
So.
That's a nightmare scenario.
There you go.
I knew what furries were because of CSI episode one time.
Dad saw that episode.
I didn't know what they were, and I wish I still didn't.
Look it up. You get more information. It gets a lot weirder.
All just right. wait, we Chris, got, until we get
We
got
to get
interview.
To our interview of the day. Mark Ziegler joined us earlier talking some Aztec basketball. Before we get to him, here's some traffic. Bring our friend on, Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Mark, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing good. Talking a little Aztec basketball. Magoon Gwath, went through some of the kind of the rigors of perhaps getting in the draft, decided against it. He's coming back to San Diego State. He also had knee surgery recently. Can you tell us a little bit about the return and the knee surgery?
Well, not a lot of details out and confirmed on the knee surgery, just that he had it. It was arthroscopic, and they expect him to be ready for the season. And, I kind of pieced together what I knew. And what was sort of announced and not announced after he first hurt the knee. And my sense is that it was PCL surgery and that it was what they call an augmented repair, which is where they attach like a piece of suture tape to the ligament to sort of strengthen it. And also it heals quicker than if you do a full reconstruction. And obviously he didn't rupture the ligament, because when he hurt it against Utah State on February 22nd, I mean, he would have been out from that day forward, and he wasn't. And so I think that's what they did. And, you know, I can't get a real read on how long it's going to be. I've heard some people say 6 months. I've heard others say, nah, it's more like five if the surgery goes well. And so that puts him anywhere from 6 weeks to 2 weeks out from the season. So I have a sense he's going to have enough time to get ready. I think just what he's going to miss is some of the off-season stuff, which really starts for them in July. It goes through the month of July, a little bit into August. They get a little bit of a break, and they come back in month of September. So let's say it's two and a half months of workouts he'll miss. But other than that, I think he should be back. So I guess that's the best news of the whole thing.
Yeah, I can confirm he's on campus. I bumped in. I didn't actually make contact with him.
Oh, good.
I bumped into him.
Star player.
I stayed clear, but I did see him on campus a couple last week or so. Mark, just through the entire offseason, people are very excited by what you've been writing and what they've been doing. And, you know, you look, if Miles Byrd ends up coming back, and I think that's still up for grabs, but, you know, to have him back, B.J. Davis, Taj DeGorville, the addition of Reese Waters, I think we can't forget about that, Farrell Compton, Magoon, Miles Heidi, that is if they didn't add anybody, but they have added people. Talk about where they've filled in, and should we be as excited as we are?
Yeah, what they did is they added people very strategically. They went out and got some transfers, that three transfers that really addressed needs. The number one need, obviously, when Nick Boyd left, was point guard. They got Sean Newman Jr., who, a kid from the LA area. He played a couple years at Fullerton, but he was really kind of his JC coach, Perry Webster, called him a COVID kid. And he is one of those kids who just slips through the cracks, right? We can't go out and see him play. His high school season's kind of shortened. We can't go see him in, you know, there's a lot of spring evaluation AAU games and tournaments for unsigned seniors, maybe late bloomers. They couldn't, that all got wiped out. And he just heard about him and took him, and then he got to Fullerton, and then their whole season got wiped out by COVID. And then the next year he hurt his knee. So he was really under the radar, and he's been working his way through JC and then Louisiana Tech, number three in the country in assists per game at 7.9, pass first, exactly what they needed. I think late in the season, you know, while Nick Boyd was a point guard in name, he also started, maybe because he recognized they needed more scoring, he was looking for his shot more than he was looking for the pass. There were some guys open, he didn't pass, he elected to shoot, and I can't dispute that they needed scoring, but this is a guy who's been looking to pass, and they have so many weapons now, particularly if Bird comes back. But you mentioned Reese Waters, you know, the second half of the season, Magoon Gwath, he's really, really, I think I want to say upgrade, because, you know, some players are better in one area than another, but in terms of the pass first mentality and what this team needs, he's an upgrade in that area. And then they got Jeremiah Oden, who, you know, people are going to sleep on and just think, well, you'd just be a backup to Magoon, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a guy who, in a limited role, did a lot of really, really good things at Wyoming. He can shoot the three, he can drive, he's 6'9", he can play the three if you need him to. He's long, athletic, and he's a sixth-year senior. He'll bring that veteran leadership and experience that they were lacking last season. Same with Sean Newman. And then the other guy, Latrell Davis from San Jose State, they went and got as kind of a cover, I think, in case Bird does go pro. I mean, he can slot, plug and play right into that position. Probably a better offensive player than Bird, to be honest, right now. A better shooter, better scorer. Doesn't give you the defensive length and athleticism. But, man, great kid. He's from England. And I think huge addition to what they have. So, they really nailed everything in terms of getting players back and then adding pieces they needed.
Mark Ziegler joins us here, San Diego Union-Tribune. And Zieg, just a random question. I thought about this today when I saw it go across my phone. I saw Baker Mazzara ended up transferring to USC. Was there any interest in those two perhaps coming back together again?
You know, I'm sure there's interest because they love him as a player and they know what he can do on the floor. He's just a winner. He's won 120 something games in college. It's, again, the sixth year, a lot of experience, a lot of big game experience, can play multiple positions. Great, great passer. I think his passing, people just forget about how good of a passer he was. And it was on display in the Final Four. But I think he's just kind of priced out of the market.
Yeah.
He was at Auburn, and I think they kind of had a deal in principle, and it kind of fell apart. And my understanding is he probably doubled the money. So you can start doing the math on how much he's getting.
Yikes.
And, you know, I don't necessarily blame those kids. Same with Nick Boyd. If you're not a surefire NBA guy, or you may be too old for the NBA, and this is your best earning year of basketball. You can go to Europe, but you're not making $2 or $3 million in Europe. You're just not. And you could probably make as much in 1 year of college than you might make in your entire pro career combined. And so for these kids to want to go out and grab it, it's hard to blame them. I think that's probably a little bit of the case of what's going on here.
Mark Ziegler is our guest, and San Diego State basketball, it's not the season, but it's always the season now with the transfer portal and everything and the recruiting. And Mark, talking about what you just mentioned, I mean, the kind of earning power and the money that some of these guys can make, how did the Aztecs end up getting LZ Harrington and a four-star recruit and, you know, CIF state title, St. John Bosco? It sounds like a great feather in their cap as far as what the talent might be. Why would he choose here and not elsewhere where maybe he makes more money? I hate to put it in those terms, but it seems like that crosses my mind now.
Well, you know, San Diego State's done a really good job of understanding we have money, but we don't have as much money as other people do. So we've got to find guys that want to be here because they want to be here, not because they want to be here because of what we're paying them. And I firmly believe that's how you win, and they have won with those kind of guys. Reese Waters is one, and who doesn't really – money isn't an issue, and partly because, you know, to be honest, his family isn't in that kind of economic – situation where there's a desperation to get money. LZ Harrington, same thing. I mean, his parents are both doctors. I'm sure they're pretty well to do. Barack Obama is a family friend. I mean, he told me, he goes, look, I've been exposed to a lot of very, very successful people in life. And I'm not just talking about basketball. And in basketball, and LeBron James is his club coach, and Bryce James is one of his friends. And so this is a guy who is a little bit more mature and sees a bigger picture. And, you know, his dad is really ill. He's been very open about that. He's interested in relationships. I mean, he kept saying the word relationships to me when I talked to him. And that's something San Diego State excels in. I mean, let's just be honest. I mean, Brian Dutcher is a very likable coach. His players love playing for him. The coaching staff is very veteran. They're very mature. They're not a bunch of, you know, you don't have, I mean, obviously you have a Greco Rope, but you have a lot of guys who've been in coaching for a long time. Their parents, all of them are parents with young kids. They understand what it is to be a parent. And so I think the kids that appeals to are the kind of kids they're getting. And LZ Harrington 100% falls into that bucket. He was not looking for a payday. He was looking for a home. And you know, he even said to me, he goes, you know, I picked USC when I decommitted from Harvard initially just because it was close. My dad was sick. I considered San Diego State, but I never went and visited it. That was my mistake. And this, when I reopened my recruitment, it allowed me to come visit some of the places that I didn't visit before. And those relationships were still open with the coaches. They were happy for him just wherever he chose. And when it opened up again, the relationships were there, and he came down to visit and just fell in love with it. And yeah, huge feather. I mean, this guy, I think, has an enormous upside, 6'6" point guard. Great floor vision and just a hard worker, and I think he's going to fit in perfectly.
Before you go, Mark, I wanted to ask you, a couple minutes left. Always had, you know, great stuff, and I feel totally up to date now on the Aztecs. I'm watching Jaden McDaniels in this series for Minnesota against the Lakers. He is really good, right? The Aztecs had his brother, Jalen McDaniels,
yep,
who was the higher accredited player, if I'm not mistaken, back in college. He's kind of in the G League back and forth of the NBA. Did the Aztecs ever come close to getting Jaden to play with Jalen? And how did all that
factor out? It's a great question.
What do you remember? You know, if you remember any of it.
I do. So Jaden was the higher ranked. Jaden, who's in the NBA. He was a five-star top 25 player. The parents love San Diego State because Jalen was a little bit under the radar, later developing, similar body type, long athletic, and they just loved the way they developed Jalen. And they really wanted Jaden to consider San Diego State. San Diego State was in the mix to the end. The issue was he was young, and you know, do you want to take a really talented guy who's five stars, who doesn't know how to play defense yet, and have him for 1 year and then lose him? And you look at all the pain that they went through last year with some of the freshmen, right? It's a sophisticated, complex, a lot of reads in their defensive system, and they made some mistakes. They made a lot of mistakes. They had to dumb down a lot of stuff. And the thing was, well, but next year they'll know everything and they'll be a lot better. Well, you knew that with Jaden. He was probably gone and you wouldn't get that second year.
Yeah.
And what they decided, and this was Brian Dutcher making a decision, they went and got a fifth-year guy who sat on the bench instead. And a lot of people raised their eyebrows and going, what is Dutch doing? Well, that player was Yanni Wetzel, and they went 30-2. And remember, in that season, Nathan Mensah was wiped out for the second half of the season, and then Yanni was really the only big, and he had a major role. He set all the ball screens for Malachi Flynn. He had some monster games that bailed him out of some tough spots, and he had experience. And so that's what they figured. If we're only going to have a guy for 1 year, let's get the experienced guy. And so it didn't really turn him down. He ended up going to Washington. He's from Seattle.
Right.
Jaden did. But it was an interesting dynamic, and man, it worked out well for the Aztecs.
Yeah, interesting.
No doubt about it. Well, as always, Mark, love catching up with you, my man, and we'll do it again here soon.
Thanks so much, Mark, for everything.
Yep, my pleasure. We'll talk to you guys.
Mark Ziegler, to end the show. We back at it again tomorrow. Padres, Giants. We'll be separated once again, but you'll get us for almost four.
Don't miss it tonight. Marlins Dodgers, $409 million payroll gap.
Ugh.
Should be fun.
Should be fun.
Scrappy Chronicles next.
Oh.
Heck yeah.
Uh-oh.
Heck yeah.
Have a good night.